Blog Talk Radio. I want to acknowledge the countries that we are broadcasting in on this evening. Before we move forward, just a second, let me pull this list up. And so I want to acknowledge those listeners in Afghanistan, in Algeria, in Belgium, in Brazil, in Canada, in Colombia, in Denmark, in Finland, in France, in Germany, in Ghana, in Ireland, in Japan, in Mexico, in the Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, Thailand, United Kingdom, the United States of America, and the Vietnam, the Republic of Vietnam. We greet you in the Master's name, the only name whereby men must be saved, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, and we say happy Sabbath to you all over the world. We are going to be dealing with the topic of the Holy Spirit on tonight, and I'm dealing with this on tonight because of what I would have been dealing with on Tuesday night, and I hate when I miss a class, so we're going to go ahead and do this tonight, and we'll pick it back up on our regular scheduled time frame on Tuesday with water baptism. But I want to deal with the Holy Spirit on tonight because it is this is one of those that if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, then I'm going to say it is really a matter of salvation because the Most High has to reveal himself to you. But, you know, a lot of people are calling on the Ruach HaKodesh and not even realizing that they must be filled by the Spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh. And this is critical to our salvation as part of the steps of the new covenant. And, you know, we want to be part of the new covenant. We want to be in the plans of the Most High. So we're going to be talking on this subject on this evening. Did just make a trip up to the land and did a drive-through, tried to camp out, but it is the monsoon season, and I've never seen a monsoon season that I can remember that's been this active in a long time, where, you know, you got storms every day, and you got that monsoon flow every day, and the storms are more intense. You know, it's not just the rain or the humidity, but it's actual thunderstorms with serious lightning, and, you know, the winds are blowing 50 to 60 miles an hour, sometimes gusting higher. And so while I was up on the land, you know, put up the tent and tried to stay in it, but the weather would not permit. And so there's no way to stay up there on the land during monsoon because, you know, if it comes through at night when you're asleep, you could very well get killed real easy. So it's not, you know, as long as monsoon is active, I won't really be trying to stay on the land. I am going back up there in September to, you know, mark out the rest of the property boundaries. I found them, you know, the markers on the south and the west side of the property, but the north and east side, I wasn't able to locate them yet. So I want to go back and mark out those boundaries and put up, you know, no, you know, private property signs and no trespassing signs. There are some people that have moved into the area who bought property during COVID, and some have moved in there. You know, they're living in campers. You know, nobody has a house up there or anything, but campers and those types of things. So, you know, they bought the house or the land during COVID, and one of the things that I found out was I had been watching that land for months before. I'm waiting for it to open, and a lot of people were as well. And so there, you know, they sold out that the one section, and but, you know, a lot of people, from what I understand, moved up there and then found out that because it is remote, fairly remote, and You got to bring your own electricity, your own water, and what have you. It was a little bit too rough for them, so they put their land up for sale. I don't know how they didn't know that, you know, when they were buying, but I guess actually doing it is a whole other thing. Anyway, there's about six, I saw about six properties that were occupied out of probably 40 or 50. So we are wanting to get up there and, you know, to get busy. I was busy today doing design work, for the hydro electric generating system and the water, atmospheric water generation system, and diagramming and the connections from, you know, from the atmospheric water generator to the water bladders to the house. And I was designing out a, you know, a proposed housing layout for the initial housing that we do, you know, with the bathroom and the bedroom and the living room and the little kitchenette. None of us will have a full kitchen. It'll be a communal kitchen, but, you know, you may have stuff that you want to warm up or anything like that. So after I had done an evaluation of the, you know, the electrical requirements and the amount of electricity that we would need to produce and what that would cost, you know, I was saying there were some things that were reasonable as far as the usage of electricity, such as, you know, a TV or a microwave, a refrigerator. Those things were, they're reasonable. And we may get satellite TV. It's not necessary, but we may, you know, get an account where we do satellite TV to the property. I did find out that, or discover that on one part of the property, we are getting a cell signal. We were able to get a call through, but it wasn't the whole property. It was just in one corner. That, you know, and maybe they're going to put in another tower somewhere closer, and we would be able to get cell signal throughout the entire property. So we wouldn't be entirely remote. But with that cell tower, and if they put another tower up, I don't know if or when that would happen, then we would also be able to get internet. But we can get internet via satellite, if, you know, and I'm thinking we may do that. You know, should I decide or need to continue to work and generate income, then having access to the internet will allow that. And so we will consider that. But, you know, just doing a lot of design work once I went up there and figured out how, which way we're going to run pipes and things like that for the water generators or water hydro generate, electric generators. Then, you know, my heart was and what's in my mind was sit down and to design this stuff out so that when we submit for grants or loans that, you know, we have this already documented. This is how it's going to work. So that's what I was busy with today and kind of yesterday. But more so today, just laying it out. You know, that's where my heart was at and my mind. So I got caught up in it. So I reviewed with a couple of sisters last night the video that we took of the property. We have enough land to get lost in that nobody will, you know, unless we make ourselves known, they don't even have to know that there's anybody there. Besides the, you know, private property signs. But, you know, plenty of tree cover, plenty of land to farm on and do whatever it is that we want to do and still not be open to the public. And what I mean by that, you know, even our neighbors won't even be able to see what we're doing. If we bought 40 acres and we got into the middle of the 40 acres, we might be seen if we only had 40 acres, but the fact that we have so many acres and we can get off into the middle of it, and we would be as I said, well hidden, which was the objective when we bought this land, so that we can set up and set up defenses and what have you. So everything is looking good. As I said, I didn't stay because of the monsoons. I didn't want to get bogged down in the in the mud. You know, if you know, because it was raining hard every night, the land did have a chance to drain. But I did see, you know, where the water was pooling and how it was running, draining and what have you. So, you know, everything was not a total loss as far as staying there. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move along for this Sabbath. So we want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. We're going to do our statement of faith. And to all those listeners out there, I pray that you have pencil and paper, that you have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, the Ruach, Holy Spirit, HaKodesh, that you understand what role the Most High plays in our life. He is doing everything. And this is one of the topics that a lot of people have a hard time understanding, that the Most High is doing everything. And he sends an angel, you know, when he wants to give instructions, when he doesn't want to specifically deal with mankind directly, but then there are times that he wants to deal with mankind himself. And so, and he deals with us in the aspect of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at that topic on this evening. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads wherever you're at in the world. And let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, as Solomon has said, that when we were scattered throughout the nations, that we would turn toward the east, toward the house that he built, even if it wasn't there, that we would turn in that direction. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day, because truly he is worthy. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, O Yah. You are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. For truly you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. There is no other like you, Father. No one that we will bow down to and give our adoration to, Father. But only you. Only you. Only you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for providing for us every day, Father. And we just want to thank you on this Shabbat and honor you in keeping your Sabbath. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins. We forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. For our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Give us favor in all that we do. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep us awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call the Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on tonight, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. And we ask that Brother Miles decrease and that you increase. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. Let us have the sounding of the shofar.
Stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just say, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions. God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin. And with his own finger, it was personally written. But still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians. Like when Christ came, the Sabbath day starts switching. But no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles. Like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath. And he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness. I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture. It's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. And Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says God and it changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
Oh,
that is who and what he is. Holy. So by default, he must be the Holy Spirit. The first. There are other Holy Spirits. Other Holy Spirits. But they are labeled as a or an spirit. So it'll say a spirit, a angel, a messenger, an spirit, A-N, spirit, and messenger. These are not the first, the original. So when we look up this definition of the, it says the is used to refer to specific or particular nouns. A and an, A and A-N, is used to modify non-specific or non-particular nouns. We call the definite article. So when you use the word the, you're talking about specifically a certain thing, the definite article. So if there are Holy Spirits, then the Holy Spirit would be the original, the definite article. The scriptures tell us in John chapter 4 that Elohim, the Most High Elohim, the Most High God, is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then we know that God himself is holy. So by default, he would be the Holy Spirit. I want us to understand that from the very beginning. God himself, that is who and what he is. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit outside of God himself. It's not a separate entity from God himself. The Holy Spirit is the Father. The Holy Spirit is the spirit that was in Messiah, the Son. Father and Son are things that the Holy Spirit became. So we will know the Holy Spirit by his acts. The Creator, our Redeemer, our Comforter, by his acts. But who and what he is? He is the Most High Elohim. So when we read about the Holy Spirit in the scriptures, understand that we are talking about the Most High God himself. He is a spirit and he is holy. He is the Holy Spirit. He is not the third one in the Trinity. The scriptures will tell us that he is the only spirit that we as men and women deal with, unless we're dealing with something evil and wicked. His spirit was to unite with our spirit and make us his children. Just as when a man unites with a woman and gives her seed, he gives part of himself to that woman, and his seed and her seed, the egg and her, combine, and the child is a combination of both of them. Well, the Most High says in these last days that he wanted to impart his spirit unto us and make us his children. And it's his spirit that we are looking for, that he's looking for in us, that we become. Messiah came that we might become. Anything that you have to become, you are not. So if you have to become a child of God, a child of Elohim, that means before you became a child of Elohim, you were not a child of the Most High. You were a human being, but you were not a child of the Most High, not by mere fact that you were a human being. Every child that is born into the world, just because they are human, does not make them a child of the Most High. You know, to make them a child of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that word ghost real quick, because you will see Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit in the word. Well, I'll just explain when I come to it. I won't get it myself out of order. Then I have to repeat it. So we are looking at the Holy Spirit. And from the standpoint, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is the Most High himself. If you come with that understanding that when we're talking about different things, then you will be able to get clarity and understand that you're only dealing with one spirit, and the Most High is doing everything. The Most High came into the world as a man. He said you would know him as the Son of Elohim. But it's still him. Not a separate being, but him in a different form. Doing a work, reconciling the world unto himself. So let us do this. Understand that the word the stands for the definite article. The spirit, in this case in the scripture, is talking about the first spirit. The first spirit was the Most High himself. He created all other spirits, including you and I, because we are spirits as well. We're just infused in flesh. This flesh is the temporary part of us. The spirit of us is eternal, just like the Most High. This body dies, and the spirit that was using this body has no place to reside at that point. And the Most High has made it to where we're supposed to go to sleep. Not all of us go to sleep. That's a whole nother lesson. So let's jump into this study, the Holy Spirit. The root meaning of the Hebrew word translated spirit, ruach, and the Greek word translated spirit, pneuma, are identical in what they mean. From the Hebrew to the Greek, they got it right in what this word means. Wind, breath, air. This seems today in our English words, pneumonia, pneumatic, pneumonic, and etc. Anything that starts with P-N-E-U really is its root in spirit, air, wind, breath. All of these refer to air, wind, and breath, and which are built on the Greek word pneuma, or spirit. When we say Holy Spirit, we are simply referring to the Spirit of Yah, or Yah himself, because Yah is a spirit. So we are addressing him directly, the Holy Spirit. Then you are addressing the Most High Elohim. That's why in the scriptures, it tells us, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you in this world or this life or the world to come. Why? Because you can't talk and blaspheme the Most High directly. He says, my works, you can talk about them. Anything that I did, you can talk about. But don't you dare even consider raising your voice to me directly, confronting me directly, talking evil about me directly. That won't be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 5. The book of Acts, chapter 5. Let's get verses 3 and 4. Now, in this story, in book of Acts, chapter 5, we have Ananias and his wife Sapphira, and they sold some land. And they came, they were going to lie about, you know, how much they sold the land for. And they were going to lie and say, hey, we sold the land, and here's all the money that we sold the land for, which was a lie. Now, they could have just said, hey, this is what part of the money we want to give up for the land that we sold. But they basically represented that they sold the land for this amount. and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, his wife also being knowledgeable of it. He was privy to that information and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So he said, you lied to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. In this scripture, the difference between ghost and spirit, they are one and the same. In the English, they chose to translate the word pneuma or ruach. In some places, they translated it spirit, and then in other places, they translated it ghost. Why? You would have to go back and ask the translator. The exact same word. But it's more correctly translated as spirit. So if we said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit here, we would not be changing the scripture. And to keep back part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not thine own? Was it not your own? While you had it, wasn't it your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? You could have said, hey, I sold the land for $10,000 or $20,000, and I'm keeping $10,000, and here is $10,000. But you came and represented that you sold the land for $2,000, and that was the whole price. Okay. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God, unto Elohim. Now, up earlier in the verse before, he said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Then he said, you lied to God. Okay. One in the same entity. The Holy Spirit is the Most High Elohim. That is who and what he is. So we got to understand that anytime we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, we're dealing with the Most High God, Elohim, directly. Okay, that's why you have to be careful what you say to the Holy Spirit. You have to be careful what you say about the Holy Spirit. You have to be careful about your feelings about the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people out there that are mad at God because they felt like he didn't do something that they wanted him to do. But you got to be careful with that stuff as though you have a right to be mad at the Most High. See, this is one of those things that I think people don't really get. If you were in a kingdom on this earth, let's say that it was the King of England, and you went before him and you said you were mad at him, he could have you killed and nobody would do anything about it. Because he is sovereign in his own land. He is the Most High power in his own land. So he has somebody to kill you. Ain't nobody going to question him. You're going to say, you were stupid for opening your mouth and saying that you were mad at the king who has the power of life and death over you. When it comes to the Most High, we don't really look at him that way. But it's the same thing. Kings answer to the Most High. They don't talk bad to the Most High and survive it because they are in his realm, not he in theirs. He gives them dominion over a certain part of land and over a certain people, and they are sovereign. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, only thing that you can get a king to do or bring to him is that he is not keeping his word. Because the king was supposed to have integrity. But if you got with an evil king, then he may not even keep his word. Then you were living in a terrible kingdom. But the Most High keeps his word. So understand that. When you're dealing with the Most High, him, the Christian Bible identifies as God with a capital G or Lord with a capital L. or Lord with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You're dealing with the same entity. You're dealing with the same entity. Okay? And he has the power of life and death over everything on this planet. So when Ananias lied to Elohim, let's go to verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost and died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. So if we had a true fear of the Most High, then we would understand that if this was another time and the Most High hadn't set a date, that you could say the wrong thing and be Ananias and just fall down dead because you disrespected the Holy Spirit. You disrespected the Most High Elohim himself. And it's an instant death sentence. Now, it's an instant death sentence. But you're not going to die right away like this man did and his wife. You may not die right away. But it's a death sentence. And nobody can pray that off of you because he says it will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. That's why it's important that you know who the Holy Spirit is. That's how it's important that you understand how you can blaspheme him. And it doesn't matter whether you do it through ignorance or whether you do it deliberately. Once you have done it, you fall into that category. And he says it will not be forgiven. So we have to be very careful. We need to know who we're dealing with. Now, let's deal with this, the difference between Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, how this actually came about. The expression Holy Ghost is found in the King James Version of the Bible, and the expression Holy Spirit is found in the modern version of the Bible, as well as books of doctrine and theology. According to William W. Stevens, in Doctrines of the Christian Religion, the King James Version of the Bible, wherever the Greek word spirit or pneuma is found by itself, it is translated with spirit, and rightfully so. This is the case with the many times pneuma or spirit is found in the 8 chapters of Romans. But when the term holy becomes part of the name, the very same Greek word pneuma is translated with ghost. So when they added holy to the word pneuma or spirit, then the translators of the English wrote the word ghost instead of spirit. That is incorrect, okay? Therefore, what should be the Holy Spirit becomes the Holy Ghost, which is not accurate. This is why all the later translations have consistently switched to Holy Spirit. So now let us get into a study and see what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High. What does the Scripture say about the Spirit of Elohim? Let's go to the first place where we see this word or this title. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and let's get verse 2. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the water. The Spirit of God is God himself. It is Elohim himself. He is a spirit. So it could have just as easily been written, and Elohim moved upon the face of the waters, and God moved upon the face of the waters. Spirit of God, then somehow, you know, people don't, we do and we don't acquaint this with God himself. The Spirit of God is God himself. He is a spirit. He was moving upon the face of the waters. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And Yah Elohim, the Lord God, Yah Elohim, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This breathe into his nostrils the breath of life can have dual meaning. He could have breathed his own spirit into the man and at the same time breathed into man air. So we, being a spiritual being, the first man, the Most High had to put the spirit in him because he formed him from the clay. And so in this breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, the pneuma, the Ruach HaKodesh, he breathed both the spirit into Adam and air into Adam. And he became a living soul. Before the Most High did this, he was just a soul, a body, like a flashlight with no battery. Had all the working parts, but didn't have anything to animate him. Didn't have even Adam himself, the spirit man Adam, in there. So when the Most High breathed into his nostrils, he breathed both his spirit and the breath of life to Adam. And Adam became a living soul. Go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Look at verses 2 through 6. Exodus chapter 31, verses 2 through 6. See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Most High filled certain men with his Spirit in times past. It wasn't the everyday man. Every person that came on the earth wasn't filled with the Spirit of Elohim, the Holy Spirit. They had the breath of life. And they received the Spirit upon conception between the man and the woman. The Most High didn't breathe the Spirit into every man and woman once the system that he wanted in place was in place. I have filled him with the Spirit of Elohim, with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and in understanding and in knowledge. See, these hands are additional things. Him with the Spirit of Elohim, with my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning work, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting stone, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. I'm giving him this, all these abilities and all these understandings, and now I myself am in him to make sure that there's no misunderstanding. Because I'm going to direct his hand. I'm going to direct his brain. I'm going to show him the patterns of everything that I want him to do. Because I'm in him. This is for a special work. To get the tabernacle done. The sanctuary done. So I'm going to fill him with myself. And I'm going to be doing the work through him. That's how he works today. But this was not for everybody in those days. Go to the book of Judges, chapter 14. The book of Judges, chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, understand that we, in and of ourselves, by ourselves, we don't have super strength. We don't have super knowledge. We don't have prophecy. We don't have the gift of healing. We don't have any of the things, the gift that the Most High says that he gives to us. Without his spirit, in the Torah, in Judges, which is outside the Torah, but the Pentateuch, in Judges chapter 14, we're talking about Samson. And the spirit of Yah came mightily upon him. He rent him as he would have rent a kid. A kid is a baby goat or a baby cow. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And hold on a minute. Let me make sure I'm referencing the right individual, because it could have also been David, but I believe this is Samson. Give me a hot second, because I don't want to say anything wrong. Judges chapter 14. Samson. Okay. Samson did not have his strength in and of himself. And the truth of the matter is, the only reason why Samson lost his strength when he cut his hair is because he was told not to cut his hair. His strength was not in his hair. But because he had been disobedient, the spirit of the Most High left him. That's why he didn't have any super strength. Because the spirit of the Most High that was in Samson, that came over Samson when he got it, became strong, was because of the spirit of the Most High. Other than that, Samson, in the scripture, he described as like, he wasn't a big man. He was a small man in stature. But when the spirit of the Most High came upon him, he had great strength, like superhuman strength. Like stronger than 10 men type of strength, even stronger than that. And it's by being filled by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Yah. That is the Holy Spirit. So the back to the book of Acts. Chapter 5. And let's continue with this story with Ananias and Sapphira. And we're going to jump down to verse 16. We've already read verses 3 and 4. Let's drop down to verse 16. Acts chapter 5 and verse 16. And there came also a multitude out of the city. We're supposed to be in Acts chapter 16. I read that as 5 and 16. It should be Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 and 7. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. I read it the wrong way. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, says Holy Ghost in your Bible, just understand they are one and the same, to preach the word in Asia. So who forbid these two brothers? Who forbid Paul and what's this other brother that went with him? I think it's Timotheus that went with him. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost, by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Spirit of God, by God himself, they didn't receive the marching orders from another spirit. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So here we see the Holy Spirit, just like he did in the Old Testament, directing people. But instead of saying the Lord God or Yah Elohim or Jehovah or Jah, it says the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. But this is the same entity in the Old Testament that used to direct the path of the prophets, that used to come on the holy men. Now he's telling Paul, and I believe this is Barnabas or Timothy, you can't go and preach the word in Asia. After they would come to my Asia, they assessed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, suffered them not. No, don't go there either. Don't go into Bithynia. He's directing their path, telling them what he wants them to do. This is Elohim himself, just as he talked to Moses and to Abraham, to Jacob, to Samuel, to Ezekiel. In the New Testament, he's identified as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Okay. So to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's get verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And the word of the Most High reads, know you not, don't you know, that you are the temple of God, you yourself, your body, is the temple of Elohim, and that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, God himself, Elohim himself, dwells in you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit of Elohim himself dwells in you. That's why he asked David, what temple are you going to build me? Seeing that all this stuff belongs to me, even you. David didn't understand. He thought that the Most High needed a house, a building to dwell in, to live in. He thought that the Most High needed the sanctuary, the temple, the altar, the mercy seat. From the very beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, he created them such that his spirit would unite with them. And he would dwell in them. But because of sin, that didn't happen, or it was undone. My spirit will not always dwell with man, seeing that he is flesh. But it also was saying that, seeing that he is corrupt. So from the very beginning, the Most High desired that his spirit would reside in our body. He says, so I have to come and undo that and redo that which was lost. That's what Messiah was talking about. So we are the temple that the Most High desires to reside in. When you understand that, would you take the Most High just anywhere and do just anything? If you realize and believe that His Spirit resides in you, that you have been filled by His Spirit, would you take Him to a strip bar? Would you take Him from bed to bed? Because see, I don't think we really believe what the scriptures say to us. That's why a lot of churches and entities don't really teach who the Holy Spirit is, and don't really teach that you must be filled by the Holy Spirit. A lot of them just say, hey, you automatically are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you don't see a change in them. You don't see them stopping doing some things. You don't see them a change in their life, a real change in that they want to obey God. They want to obey Him to the max. If we realize who it is that we have in us, then surely we wouldn't act the same way. We would be, you know, cognizant of where we go and what we do, what we say, who we're with. Let me look up a verse. Getting a little bit off of my lesson plan, but I think it's appropriate to get this verse now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We may cover this again, but I feel like it's appropriate now. We'll get verses 12, 13, and possibly 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, 13, and 14. For as the body is one, the body of Messiah is one, and has many members, members of this body have to have the same spirit. You got to have the same spirit as Messiah. Messiah, when he came, says that to wit, God was in Christ, in your English version, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The Holy Spirit was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciling the world unto the Holy Spirit, unto God himself. Just for as the body is one and has many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. This entity that the Most High says that he was creating in Messiah, Christ. The body has many members. And what makes you a member of this body is to have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. All the members of the body of Messiah have the Spirit of the Most High. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. By Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High. When it says, for by one Spirit, it's not talking about one mind, one thought. It's talking about by the Spirit of the Most High. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. If we are all baptized into one body by one Spirit, and the Spirit that you're supposed to receive is the Holy Spirit, then it is the Spirit of God. whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Not two spirits, not three spirits, but one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Let's get one more verse. Hold on a second. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you understand that the Holy Spirit is God himself, and that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elohim, was in Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach, reconciling the world unto himself. The Spirit of Messiah was the Spirit of God himself in the flesh. Now the Lord, anytime we see the Lord in the New Testament, then it's always equated to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Most High in flesh. The Lord is that Spirit. So you could read that the Lord Jesus Christ or the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach is that Spirit. The Spirit that you are baptizing, he is the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of Yah is, where the Spirit of Yeshua HaMashiach is, all one and the same being, there is liberty. But understand who they're talking about. You are baptized into the body by one Spirit. The Spirit that you are baptized into the body by is the Spirit of the Lord. We are told that the Spirit that Yeshua HaMashiach had was the Spirit of God. He didn't have two spirits in him. He didn't have three spirits in him. Go to the book of John, chapter 1. And we're not going to do this whole chapter or even the traditional verses. I just want to show us one verse here. John chapter 1. Get verse 10. John chapter 1 and verse 10. He, God, was in the world. How do we know that it's talking about God himself? Elohim. And the world was made by him. Who made the world? Elohim himself made the world. Elohim himself was fluttering upon the face of the waters in the beginning. Elohim himself breathed into the nostril of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. The one that created the world is the one that came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Didn't know who he was. The creator of the world has come into the world. He's coming to a specific people, his priesthood, that he chose to reconcile them first so that his priesthood could go and do the mission that he gave them, reconcile the rest of the world to him. Whole different story. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own are the one that he chose. Israel. I chose you to be my people. I chose you to be my inheritance. In the world, you belong to me. The whole world, it belongs to me, but I don't call it mine. Not in this sense. I have chosen you specifically as a people to call my own. You are my inheritance in this world, dedicated to me. He came unto his own priesthood, and his own priesthood received him not. Now, verse 12. But as many as received him, God, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. If he gave you the power to become, then before you became a son of the Most High, you were not a son of the Most High. That's why you must become a son of the Most High, a child of the Most High. If you were already one, then he would need to give you the power to become it, to become one. So just because we see a man or a woman or a child, we cannot assume that that man or a woman or a child is a child of the Most High. They must become a child of the Most High. And they must do it the way that the Most High says to do it. So the Most High came in the world so that he could give power to man, woman, and children to become his children by doing what he said to do. Even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Elohim, God, the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important that you know who the Holy Spirit is. This is why it's important that you know when Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, it's not just a change of mind or a change of heart. This is a literal thing. It's a physical thing. Being born of his Spirit, becoming his son, his child. This is not exclusive to men. The truth of the matter is, most women receive the Ruach more than men do. If they got the heart and mind of a true female. Because they're taught to be submissive. They're taught to submit. It's hard for any person that will not submit to receive the Spirit of the Most High. Because you have to submit to him. And it's usually easier for the women. Not always, but in general, yes. Most men don't want to submit that way. Got to be shown something. Got to have some type of experience that moves them out of their core values, that moves them out of the senses of what they have been taught naturally. That they would see themselves inferior to the Most High. So he came, and as many as received him, God, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. How does he make you his son? By giving you his spirit. Giving you his spirit. There's only one spirit. You can't become his child by any other spirit. So if you believe that Gabriel is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then you will become a son of Gabriel, not a son of the Most High. That's why it's important that we don't make the Holy Spirit anybody else but the Most High. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. So let's go there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. And let's start in verse 18. These things are important. It's not just about the Christmas, the birth of Christ. It's not just about the Christmas story. It's important that you understand and put into place the character. Now, the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, was on this wise, was this way. Mother Mary was a spouse, engaged. What we call engaged is espoused in the scriptures. And the Most High considers you married when you are engaged or espoused. Before they came together sexually, Joseph had not slept with her, but she was his wife. Before they came together sexually, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Who? Of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Spirit. This doesn't happen. Had never happened before like this. She has conceived a child by Elohim himself. Now, she's telling this to her husband, who hasn't slept with her. Yeah, right. You said what? You pregnant by who? I need to consider what I'm about to do to you. Because you come in here, I've been busy preparing a house. I've been busy trying to get the approval of my father so I can bring you home so that we can be together, so we can consummate this marriage as far as sexually. And you come in here telling me you're pregnant, and you saying it's by the Most High himself. But I love you, and I don't want to make a public example out of you. That's what the law calls for me to make a public example out of you. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that means he liked justice. He liked righteousness. He wanted to do the right thing. And not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, the law said that he should have taken her to her father's house and brought the accusation that your daughter, because she ain't came to my house yet, so she's still a member of your house, has gotten pregnant while she was under your roof. The law requires that I bring her and have everybody stone her at your front door, at your front gate. But I don't want to do that. I want to put her away privately. That just means that I want to go and stone her, not publicly, but privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yah, the messenger of Yah, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, for she is pregnant of the Holy Ghost. She's pregnant by Elohim himself. She's not been with a man, as you're supposing. It didn't say, take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. Mary, thy wife, she was already his wife. They had made the promise to each other. And she's off 3 or more months. Because the scriptures tell us she stays with Elizabeth, pregnant with John the Baptist, she stays with her 3 months. She comes back home. She's found to be pregnant. She was pregnant when she went to stay with Elizabeth. That's when she received, that's when she made and accepted the command, the proposal to be the mother of Messiah. Said, be it so unto thy handmaiden. Instantly, she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She wasn't pregnant by Gabriel, the angel that gave her the message. He didn't sit down and perform an operation on her and implant in her through artificial insemination a baby like we do today. Gabriel was simply the messenger. He was not Messiah's father, or else Messiah would be the child of Gabriel instead of the child of the Most High. That's why the scriptures are written the way that they are. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, God himself, Elohim himself, begotten. Let's get one more verse here. John, back to John, let's go to chapter 1. John chapter 1. And the only thing I want you to underline in this, we're going to go to verse 1, then we're going to go to, we read verse 10 and told you that the one that came into the world was the one that created the world. Okay? The world was made by him. But let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. And the only thing that I want you to underline in this verse, without us getting all technical and to a deeper discussion than what we need, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, Elohim, and the Word was God. Underline, and the Word was God. There's only one God. And when it says the Word, it literally means like I'm speaking word. Not talking about an individual. The Word of God, the prophecy about Messiah, that word was going to manifest itself. You can't separate the Most High Elohim from his word. Whatever he says must happen. That's why it says, and the Word was God. The Word of God is an active force within itself. It goes about to accomplish whatever the Most High says. His Word is an active force in of itself. The Most High speaks, whatever words he speaks, they go about themselves to become and to do whatever it was that they are. The time, the place, the action are all in that word. His word is simple, yet it is complex. But his word was not an individual, or is not an individual separate and apart from him. It's whatever comes out of his mouth. And it's him. And the Word was God. Underline that. Now let's immediately drop down to verse 14. Let's immediately drop down to verse 14. Make this simple. And the Word, which we just read, which is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. How did we know him? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You to know me. As the only begotten of the Father. The words that I spoke, I told you that they would enter into this world. I would enter into this world. I created the world and everything in it by speaking. And God said, let there be light. He said, he spoke words. Words became light. Let there be light, and his words became light. That I'm going to enter into the world and reconcile the world to myself. And the words that he spoke became flesh. God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. This is how I want you to know me. But who is it? The same one that created the world. The same one that told you in Torah, I don't know any other God. Is there a God besides me? I know not any. If he don't know another God, you can't know another God. How are you going to know something that the Most High himself don't know? I don't know another God. There is not another God here besides me. I know not any. And we're going to make it three gods in one. He said, no, I'm doing it all. I am the Holy Spirit, and I am doing it all. I'm going to become flesh and dwell among you. And you're going to know me as the only begotten of the Father. That's how I want you to know me. I'm not making another God. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. The book of Isaiah chapter 43. I don't want you to say Brother Miles said. Formed for. Start in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. You, Israel, that's who he's talking to, are my witnesses. Saith Yah. And my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, but not before us, before me, there was no God formed. Neither will there be after me. I'm not making another God. So I technically cannot make a son separate and apart from me, or else I break my own word, because I would have made another God. I would have formed another God. I'm going to put myself in flesh. Therefore, I'm not making another God. I'm not going to form another God. I'm not going to make you a God as my child, separate and apart from me. Without my Holy Spirit, without my Spirit, you're not my child, and you won't be a God. You won't be God, because this is what he's doing. He's expanding himself by his Spirit. He's not forming another God. So God came into the world and became flesh and dwelt among us so that he can reconcile the world unto himself. Then you're going to know me as Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. That's who you're going to know me. But who I am, who am I? I'm the creator of the world. I'm the one that told you I don't know any other God. Just me. That's why I can't send my spirit back while I am in the world. I gotta leave. But I'll send my spirit back and fill you with my spirit. That's a new covenant. I used to only do this thing to my prophets and to kings. Now I'm going to do it to the average, everyday man. And it doesn't matter whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. I'm recreating Israel. No Gentiles are not replacing my people, Israel. Some of them are going to make it in. And they were my chosen. But I'm also going to let some of you in too, because my own rejected me. My own received me not. That's why the kingdom is open to the Gentiles, to the non-Hebrew, the non-Hebrew Israelites, because the people of the Most High did not receive Messiah when he came. And he knew that they wouldn't. It's by design. But what Israel's job was to the world was to be the witness that God will not create another God. He's not going to form another God. He technically cannot have a male or a son God separate and apart from him. He cannot have a separate spirit separate and apart from him that is also God. That would be three gods. Not three gods in one. It's all the same entity, all by the same Spirit. So John tells us, and the Word, which was God, became flesh. Not the Son of God that existed before the creation became flesh. It was the Word that was prophesied. The Word of God that is an active force in and of itself, became flesh and dwelt among us. But we got to understand, we're only dealing with one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let's look at another name for the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 17. John chapter 14 and verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. Why? How do they know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth? Because he dwells with you. Who was dwelling with them at that time? Was it Gabriel? Was it Michael? Who was dwelling with them at that time? The one that came into the world was dwelling with them at that time. Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, was dwelling in them at that time. How was Jesus the Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach going to get in them? They weren't talking about no homosexual act. And shall be in you. I'm going to fill you with the same Spirit. My Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I'm with you right now. I'm dwelling with you right now. And I shall be in you. For this is where I desired to be from the beginning. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? From the beginning, I wanted to dwell in you. So right now, I'm with you in flesh, but I shall be in you. Not just by my words, not just by scripture, but literally. Literally. I have designed you that your spirit and my spirit will combine to become one spirit. And you shall be my child. Look at John chapter 15. The book of John chapter 15. Let's get verse 26. But when the Comforter is come. Now, because it's now giving you the title of the Comforter, you may think it's a whole different entity, but it's not. The Most High is not going to fill you with all these different spirits. It is only by one Spirit. So when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, this confuses people. But it's meant to confuse people. It is parabolic. It is not clearly written. The Most High has to reveal this to you. Just as Messiah is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb of God and the Messiah and your Savior, these are all titles for the same individual. The Comforter whom I will send unto you from the Father. But you're talking to the Father in flesh, but you know him as the Son. But if you understand what is being said and you understand who you're talking to and you believe the scriptures, then you're talking, the one is talking to you saying, I'm going to send you my Spirit, even the Spirit of truth. The Comforter, so if the Comforter and the Spirit of truth are two separate spirits, then you got to be filled with a bunch of spirits. You got to be filled by the Spirit of God. You got to be filled by the Spirit of Christ. You got to be filled by the Comforter. You got to be filled by the Spirit of truth. These are all titles for the same Spirit. which proceeds from the Father. He shall testify of me. So now, if you're reading this and you don't really have understanding and it hasn't been revealed to you, then you believe that the Father is going to send another spirit, to testify of Messiah, which is a whole separate being from himself. Now let's go to another place. Go to John chapter 1 again. The book of John chapter 1. We'll stop here for this evening. And what verse do I want to get? Let's see. Maybe it's chapter 2. Hold on. One moment. Maybe it's John chapter 2. So I want you to read this for yourself. All right, Miles, slow down. Go to John chapter 1. So we're actually going to get a couple of verses here. Go to John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. I want you to read this with understanding. The next day, John sees Jesus, or Yeshua, coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. He existed before me." He didn't exist as Jesus before him. He existed as the Most High Elohim. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, that he should be not made known to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is invisible. But John was given a sign, because he said he was supposed to see a sign. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit. the one that Messiah is telling you in another place, the Father baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. But if the Father is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, and you're being told right here, the one that you see the Spirit descend and remain upon is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, then Messiah is the Most High in flesh. And the scriptures are written that only those that are chosen are given the understanding that it is one and the same being. Remember, Messiah himself said, it's apostle path, why do you speak to them in parables? Why don't you just say it plainly? Because it's not given to them to understand it. It's given to you. So to he that has an ear, let him hear. Messiah is the Most High in flesh. He is the one that baptizes with his own spirit. And he calls his spirit the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. It's the same spirit, the one spirit by which you are baptized into his body. Messiah is the one that baptizes you with that spirit. But the scripture tells you that this is done by the Father. So who is Messiah? He is the Father in flesh. You will know him as the only begotten of the Father. But it's the creator of the world. So he wants you to know this so that you know that you have to be begotten by him. This is how he wanted it from the beginning. You are the temple. You are the place where the Most High desires to dwell. But you got to come correct. You got to submit yourself. You got to obey his voice. Do you think that he will choose you if you're not choosing to obey his commandments? Do you think he wants a disobedient child? He doesn't tolerate that. We're trying to make the Most High human. He came as a man, but he says, I am not a man. I don't have the nature of a man. And I don't make excuses. I don't lie. My word is good. You want to become my child, then you got to submit yourself to me. You got to obey my voice. You have to be begotten by me, by my spirit. And if the church is not telling you that, the church is telling you that it's an automatic thing, all you got to do is try to be good now. They are lying to you. They are lying to you. And it is utmost important that you receive the Spirit of the Most High, the Holy Spirit. Without it, you are none of his. And I hate that. I don't know why I say it that way. Without the Spirit of the Most High, you are none of his. You're just a man or a woman trying to be good. You must be begotten. Just as Messiah, the Word became flesh. You must hear the word of the Most High. You must believe it. And you must act upon it. Obedience. then he may choose you. Because many are called, but few are chosen. He is the one doing the calling. He is the one doing the choosing. He wants an obedient people, whether you are Hebrew or Gentile. He wants an obedient people. He is remaking Israel. Of both Jew and Gentile. And with my Hebrew brothers and sisters want to make Israel just a Hebrew, then they are mistaken. The Most High doesn't care what country you come from. He doesn't care what your bloodline is. What he cares about is if you fear him and will keep his commandments. That's what he cares about. If you will fear him and keep his commandments. Peter had to be shown that. In every nation, those who go to Acts chapter 10, and we will wrap this up for tonight. We will continue this in the morning, the study of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10. What Peter had to realize. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight, but let me see if I can find it this way. Just not seeing these verses the way I know how to see them, but. Go to Acts chapter 10, let's get verse 35. Acts chapter 10, let's get verse 35. Because this is what the Most High is looking for. He's not looking for a church that say they believe in him and don't keep his commandments. He's not looking for a people that say they belong to him and don't keep his commandments. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness, to work righteousness, to obey his commandments, is accepted with him. In every nation, those that fear him and work righteousness, keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, is accepted with him. He's not, if you don't keep his commandments, righteousness has to do with keeping the law. To keep the law and to do right is the same thing. It's synonymous. And if you don't keep his laws, then you are not righteous. You are a lawbreaker, a transgressor, a sinner. But he's looking for those in every nation that fear him and will keep his laws. that is righteousness. That's who he's looking for. Let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you, Father, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Ruach, Father. We thank you for giving us understanding that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is you, and that you are dealing with men from that standpoint. So I want to deal with you as a man, from the standpoint of a man. I came as a man to deal with you from that standpoint. You know me as the only begotten of the Father. But I'm dealing with you as a man, as a human being. I don't care what country you come from. I don't care what bloodline you come from. What I care about is that you fear me and keep my commandments, that you obey my voice, that you don't blaspheme me. That's what I care about. That's who I'm going to make Israel. That's who will be accepted in Israel at my holy mountain. Help us, Father, to see the truth of your word and to seek after your Spirit with everything that is within us, that we might make it into your kingdom. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. We will continue with the Holy Spirit in the morning, part two. And we will run through the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Know that you cannot get into the kingdom without the Spirit of the Most High. You don't belong to him if this has never happened to you. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, until we meet again, I love you, I really do, but I cannot love you like I love you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can simply just tell you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Shalom, family. Have a blessed Sabbath. And remember, Yah loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh. one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Brother Miles.
Shalom,
yes,
Sister Denise. Shalom,
Sister Denise. Sister Mary.
Shalom.
Brother Miles. All right, shalom.
See you guys in the morning.
All right.
Keep shalom. Shalom.
Mm-hmm.